Today's Bible reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, and can be found on page 1832 of your Bibles, if you've got one, or on the screen behind me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another and all with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks so much, Tom, for that reading, and good morning, everyone. My name is Chris, and if you're visiting with us this week, then please let me add my welcome to Jonathan's. If you haven't yet enjoyed a warm cup of tea or coffee, then I hope you'll be able to join us for one after the service. Now, I need to say up front that I don't normally do this part of the service, that is in the preaching part. That job is normally very well handled by one of our two pastors here at Trinity Unley, either Carl or Jack, but today you have me. And I was encouraged by Jonathan before the service when he was concerned about speaking once, and his mum said to him, "Jonathan, if the Lord can speak through Balaam's donkey, he can speak through you." And so I think that applies very well to me. So please be praying that the Lord would speak through his word and some of these things that we're looking at today. The role I'm best known for here at Trinity Unley is leading music and singing, and it's the topic that we're looking at today, psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And it's particularly close to my heart, and perhaps it's close to yours as well. And in terms of specific revelation, that's what God has revealed to us in Scripture, there is a vast amount of material on the subject of singing. I suspect we could spend a lifetime working through just the Psalms alone and barely scratch the surface of what they are saying about the praiseworthiness of God, His faithfulness, His justice, His mercy, and His enduring love. But as it is, I'm planning to be finished well before 2 p.m. this afternoon, so I'm hoping that suits your current plans for the day. Now, if you have access to a Bible, then it'd be really great to have it open, and the text, hopefully, maybe if the guys can put it up, will be behind me. I don't have any slides today, so we'll just be looking at these few verses from Colossians chapter 3. And in particular, we're going to focus on Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. So those other verses from 12 to 14, they set some context for us, but we're particularly going to look at verses 15 to 17. And in that passage that Tom has just read for us, we start to be able to see what the Apostle Paul says about this topic of singing, about singing in particular to a group of people, the Colossian church, that Paul has never actually met. He's never actually met them, but he loves them. We know that he loves them because you can look at his prayers for them in chapter 1. And he has deep concern for them. But before we go any further, let's ask the Lord for help as we consider his words to us today. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your words to us in Scripture. Please help us to understand what it means for the message of Christ to dwell among us richly, and to be a people who praise and worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask these things in the name of Christ, who is our peace. Amen. Well, if you were with us last week, our senior pastor Carl took us through Psalm 73, and we looked at the idea of having our hearts recalibrated by God. That is, as we draw near to Him and we place our trust in Him, we start seeing things as they really are, and we're able to express our love for God and sing praise to Him for who He is and all that He's done. Psalm 73 is one of the Psalms of Asaph, and he's a man specifically appointed by David, the king of Israel, to lead God's people in the praise and worship of the Lord. And at the start of his sermon, Carl said, and I quote, "Asaph is probably the ancient Chris Castledine." Now, I've double-checked my shoe size during the week, and I'm still a US size 10, but I'm pretty sure Asaph sandals were comfortably larger than that. So I just wanted to make sure that was absolutely clear. In 1 Chronicles 16, this is the instruction that David gives to Asaph on how he should lead the people in praise to God. He says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, see his face always, seek his face always." These are commissioned with great words. And so singing has always played a vital role in helping God's people to remember and to some extent feel and express all that God has accomplished for them. And it's an incredible attribute of being made in the image of God that people are able to weave written language and musical language together. The words are somehow easier to recall when they are pinned to a scaffold of melody and rhythm. Not to mention the effects of things like modulation, the use of major and minor keys to create the right kind of emotional landscape for the story or the meaning of the song. And the first recorded song for us in Scripture is the song of Moses and Miriam from Exodus chapter 15. And it comes just after God has delivered the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians through the Red Sea. Here's a small section of that song. "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." And so it's been an enduring pattern across biblical history that God's people lift their voices in song to praise him for his unfailing love, for his wonderful acts, and for his power to rescue and to save. And for Christians, their song is one of joyful thanks and praise to God for all that he's accomplished for them. And indeed, for all God's people across all generations in his Son, in Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul describes at the start of his letter to the Colossians. He says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So let me pause for a brief moment and ask you to think about your own history and experience of singing in church. I think if I were to interview a few of us here today and I asked you to describe the kinds of things that you're used to seeing, the kinds of songs that you've typically sung, or the combinations of instruments that you're familiar with, or how many musicians were typically in the band, then I think we would get a really interesting and diverse set of responses. And we would quickly discover that music and singing are integrated into assemblies of God's people in lots of different ways. And if we think back across church history and the composition and the distribution of churches, then the level of diversity becomes really enormous. Because the truth is, there are lots of differences, aren't there? Some are practical, some are cultural, some are denominational, some are theological. Maybe things like where you were born or where you live in terms of population. Are you in an urban or a remote community? Your access to musical resources, instruments, teachers, printed music. and also ruling authorities and governments, restrictions on open praise and worship of God. All of these things affect the way that different churches approach music, and we recognize this across time and continents and cultures. So when faced with all of this diversity in the way that churches approach singing, the big question for us to ask is, does the Bible have anything to say on what the purpose of corporate singing is? Now, when I say corporate, I mean together in large groups as opposed to an ANZ board meeting or something like that. Or it could be any of the big four, it doesn't have to be ANZ. You'll be relieved to know the answer is definitely yes, the Bible has much to say on this topic. But particularly in sharp focus here in Paul's letter to the Colossians, we get a rich, clarifying, unifying vision for what singing together is all about. In verse 16, he writes, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And notice in verses 15, 16 and 17, we've got them up there on the screen at the moment. There are three specific Christ-centered commands, with verse 16 being the middle one. So in verse 15 we have the peace of Christ. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." And in verse 17 we have the name of Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then in verse 16, Paul's mission statement, if you like, for singing, we have the message of Christ. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." So we have peace of Christ, message of Christ, name of Christ, in that order. And notice the way that Paul repeats the idea of thankfulness too. Verse 15 at the end, "and be thankful." Verse 17, "giving thanks to God the Father." Verse 16, "singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And so Paul wants them to cultivate grateful and thankful hearts, that they would be people who'd be defined by God's grace and mercy, that their praise would be driven in response to all that God has done for them in Christ. And when we look closely at verse 16, one thing that stands out straight away is that Paul doesn't make any comment on musical style particularly, other than suggesting that a good diversity, a good range of songs is healthy. So he says psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. All of those things are in view for Paul. But there's no comment really about whether the songs are fast or slow or loud or soft or new or old. He's not particularly concerned about any of these things. Instead, he's far more concerned about the content, how they function to grow our mutual love and affection for Christ. I was particularly moved, those first two songs that we sang, and hearing you all sing and experiencing, I guess, audibly, that mutual affection for Christ. And what is clear is that singing, regardless of musical style, for Paul, needs to be centered on Christ. He wants the message of Christ to dwell among them richly, to inhabit them, so not just to dwell, but to infuse and inform every aspect of their relationships with each other. And the idea is that singing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit will be used to teach and admonish one another. Now that word admonish is a bit of an unusual word. We don't often use it, but it's sometimes rendered as urge or warn. So the reality is that as we're singing praises to God in a vertical sense, that we are offering praises up to him, we're also spurring one another on, urging one another on in a horizontal sense. And for me, I really did feel a sense of that in those first couple of songs, that we were encouraging each other horizontally, that we were spurring each other on as we said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And in the second song, as we sang, worthy is the one whose blood has purchased us for God. This reminds me of a story. Back in 2012, I went to a music conference here in Adelaide, which was organised by Mark Peterson. Some of you will know Mark. We've sung some of his songs from time to time. In fact, the second song and the song that we're going to sing a little bit later is written by Mark Peterson. And Mark had arranged for the guest speaker at the conference to be a man named Peter Adam. Now, Peter was the senior pastor of St. Jude's Carlton, which was the church I went to when I lived in Melbourne. And I remember Peter making a really interesting comment during one of the sessions. He said, I'm looking forward to the day when someone in the congregation comes up to me at the end of the service and says, Peter, I have to tell you, I really didn't like that second song we sang this morning. The melody was a bit drab, the rhythm not to my taste. But the person standing next to me liked it so much. Can we have it again next week? And I thought that was unusual and funny and a bit strange. But it always stuck with me that there is a genuinely profound horizontal element to singing, that as we sing praises to God, we encourage each other, and that needs to be part of what we're doing when we come to sing together. The attitude of our hearts should be one of mutual encouragement. And of course, the Apostle Paul is not saying that we all need to be great singers. No, there's no mention of the pitch or the quality of our voices. We really just need to sing with whatever voice the Lord has given us, because when we sing alongside our brothers and sisters, we actually spur each other on, not just to know more about Christ, but to know him and apply that knowledge in wise living. Paul says, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And I take it that he means using the whole counsel of God to make sure that what we are singing is true and useful for building one another up. The truth is, we are diverse in terms of our church backgrounds. Our experience of singing in church is different, but there is a volume, a harmony, and a shared sound that is somehow much more than just the sum of its parts. As I mentioned before, when I hear the congregation sing, and it's my privilege many weeks to be up the front playing music, and I can hear you all singing along with us who are up the front. When I hear you sing, and especially at points where we drop the music down a bit and it's just our voices, there is a shared sound that is somehow much, much more than the sum of its parts. There is volume, there is harmony, and it is beautiful and encouraging. So thank you for your singing. Please keep singing. And please do be on the lookout for songs that you really dislike that you know will be of great encouragement to your brothers and sisters. Songs which cause the message of Christ to inhabit them and make its home in them, transform every aspect of their being. Well, I hope you found Paul's vision statement on singing helpful. They've been of enormous benefit to me for many years as I've considered the role of leading people in praise and thanks to God for his unfailing love and his wonderful works. I love the way that they show us the value of singing as a means of spurring one another on and causing the message of Christ to inhabit every aspect of our lives and relationships. So would you finish with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the gift of music and singing. Please help us to be a people of joyful thanks and praise who teach and admonish one another, spur one another on with the whole counsel of God, with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Clothe us with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and Over all these virtues, help us to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And we pray all these things in the name of Christ, who is before all things, and in all things he holds them together. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again now. This next song is, the melody was certainly, and the arrangement of the words is by Mark Peterson. It's from Philippians chapter 2, and it's basically a musical setting to that ancient hymn that we read there. And so I'm going to hand over to Jack and the band.